This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys. Thank you all out there for joining us. As always, it's a privilege and a pleasure to get out on the airwaves and share some bits of knowledge. And it's been quite fun through the pandemic because as those longtime listeners that have known since before the pandemic, we pivoted right towards the beginning of the pandemic and have started having different technology partners on as well as restaurant operators. Today is the first time I've actually had three separate and distinct guests on. And so I'm going to let them introduce themselves here in just a second. But we've got a restaurant operator and then two technology partners that that integrate together and really work synonymously with the restaurants to deliver the charter that the Restaurant Technology Guys is all about, which is to help restaurants be aware of different products that are out there. But I'm going to start with the restaurant operator, Kevin Hamilton. Kevin, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and tell them a little bit about yourself and what you get to do for a living.
Ooh, good choice of words. I do operate a medium-sized production brewery and brew pub called Canyon Club Brewery. We're in the East Bay, Bay Area of California. You know, I think like most of us, I've been in the industry 25 years or so, you know, in every position, started investing in different breweries and restaurants about 10 years ago. And then finally just broke out into my own late 2019. I know, great timing. opened my own brewery, Beer Garden Brew Pub, and made it through the pandemic and just kind of very interested and focused now on where the industry is going and what the last 15 months or so has kind of, you know, presented us with. And I think there's a lot of good things coming out of it. So happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, I know we were talking about it pre-show, just your timing was, nobody could have predicted what 2020 was going to bring for all of us and anybody that's in restaurants and has a passion for taking care of guests and all of those kind of things. It was a hard 2020 for sure, but fortunately things are starting to turn around and looking good. And I'd love to talk, we'll talk as we get through introductions about how not only that impacted you, but really the use of technology and how it helped the brewery continue to operate and where you think it's going. Before we get too deep into the recording for today, I wanted to remind you guys of one of the partners that was on the show back in April. The founder of Pop Menu, Brennan, came on and we were talking about reputation management and really managing your online presence. And I know for myself, one of the things that I always look for before I'm going out to a new restaurant or to any restaurant for that matter is kind of where they're at from a presence perspective. What does their menu look like on the web? And so the guys at Pop Menu have done a fantastic job of really managing their way through that. And so if you guys haven't already checked out the podcast that dropped back in April, go check it out. And they partnered with us on the podcast to offer $100 off of your first month if you go to popmenu.com/techguys and check their stuff out. Great company, great product, and I would recommend anybody take a look at it. I'm going to turn it over to our next guest, who is a second-time guest for the podcast, Tim McLaughlin, the, I believe, founder and CEO of GoTab. Tim, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and reintroduce yourself, I guess, since you've already introduced yourself from the last episode we had.
Sure. Thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, great to be here. Great to be alongside Kevin as well and Jordan. I'm the co-founder of GoTab. We started in 2016. We actually started doing what we're known for, which is QR ordering in 2017 and released it in 2018. Contrary to what a lot of people think, that QR ordering was invented in COVID. So we do a lot of things since then, but really where we focus as GoTab is we believe that there's a lot of work and technology both necessary between the guests and the operator. So we're really focused on purchasing and fulfillment of those purchases on time and, you know, and quality around that. We think that's a very deep problem set and continue to expand our functionality in that area. So a lot of people confuse us with the POS. We have POS features and we act like a POS, but we actually prefer to partner with companies who also see their spaces very deep. So I'll let our other colleague here, Jordan, talk about that and how, you know, they're solving some deep problems in the, a totally different, what we consider a totally different problem set, which is the the staff. But yeah, thanks for having me on, Jeremy.
Well, thanks for coming back. I just was looking up timing, and for those that haven't already listened to Tim's podcast, it went live in April of 2021, a couple months ago at the time of recording, and fantastic podcast, and you can learn a lot more about what those guys are doing over at GoTab, but we'll talk a lot about it today. As Tim alluded to, we've got a third guest on the call, and I don't know if this is the first time. If it's not the first time, it's definitely not more than five that we've had three different guests on the podcast. And so, Jordan Bush, do you want to introduce yourself to the group and for those that aren't familiar with what you guys are doing over there at Seven Shifts?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on again, Jeremy. So my name is Jordan. I'm the CEO at Seven Shifts, and Seven Shifts is a team management platform for the restaurant industry. So really, when people think of our product, they think of our core product, which is around scheduling and communication. Longer term, we believe in adding value across what we refer to as the employee lifecycle. So everything from the moment an employee is hired in a restaurant, trained, scheduling, which is where we go deep. They're then paid after they work their shifts by a payroll company, and then they're effectively retained. So hiring, training, scheduling, paying, and retaining are those areas of impact that, you know, we consider ourselves building into and partnering along the way. More lately, spending a lot of time around, you know, solving some pains for operators around tip management and compliance. So really, when you think of that team and labor management umbrella, that's where we typically play.
Awesome. And Kevin gets the privilege of working with both Tim's team and Jordan's team. So kind of fun to have an operator that's partnering with two different cool pieces of technology that are really helping restaurateurs out. And like I said, with the charter of what Restaurant Technology Guys is really trying to do is to get restaurateurs some awareness of things that people are already doing out there that are really going to help them operate their business better. And to Tim's point, you know, kind of that core point of sale and the technology that sits in the middle of it is a core problem that needs to be solved. And as longtime listeners will know, labor management and making sure that you've got the right staff in the right places at the right time is also key. And if you haven't already listened to Jordan's podcast, please do so as well. So Kevin, why don't we shift it back to you? Talk to me a little bit about what COVID looked like. Actually, before we even go there, why don't we talk a little bit about what your technology stack is within the breweries? Because I think you're sitting in a unique spot where you can talk a little bit about what Tim's team and their product has done for you guys, because you were an early adopter, I believe, of their platform. Talk to me a little bit about what your tech stack looks like and how you use the GoTab solution for your breweries.
Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, I think we've early on kind of realized that's, you know, that's the benefit for restaurants now, is things that we didn't have 20 years ago. I mean, you know, Seven Shifts we actually had before GoTab. And I remember just learning about it, and it was like, wait a minute, people give up their shifts and people can take them even kind of without having my finger on that button. And it's kind of almost this self-managed system, yet as an owner, giving me visibility, you know, who's working today? Do we have enough people on? Like, why is labor so high? The visibility part of that is huge. And then I think, like many new restaurants, we're a very large restaurant. Our beer garden is about 1/4 acre. And so we have a lot of staff, and staff costs are obviously, you know, the biggest cost for us. When COVID hit, right? I mean, I think like everyone, we didn't really know what was happening. And I was like, this, you know, this will probably be done in a few months. And everyone's like, no, this might be a year. This might be more than a year. And that's when we really started kind of figuring, what are we going to do to get through this, right? I mean, we're pretty motivated people, as most, you know, restaurateurs are, and, you know, pretty kind of scrappy. And so we started looking around. We did adopt GoTab in, you know, early 2020, and it just kind of seemed like a no-brainer. I mean, we'd always thought, because we had such a large geographical footprint, it was like, God, we have people that are, you know, 300 feet away. If there was only a way that we could get them to order and just kind of bring it out to them. And, you know, just the time of walking out and back is, you know, minutes, and it adds up. And so when GoTab came along, we were like, okay, so this solves the problem of, we have this pandemic where people don't want to talk to us, which I get. And even my staff too, on the other end, my staff was like, I don't want to come to work. I don't feel safe talking to 300 people a day. And this solution, and we put it in place, and it was just, it transformed our business overnight. It just, you know, that's the kind of thing I think with some of these technologies is it is scary to think about, like, oh my gosh, we have to change everything to do this. Our SOPs, mm-hmm. trained staff, everything. But once you implement it, you know, it solves the problem. It can solve the problem you're looking at. But honestly, it solved like 15 problems that we didn't even know we had. And that was kind of the cool part of it. And so we've run with it since. We actually have, now we have on staff, we have kind of our GoTab specialist, which honestly is really just kind of a kid that's super good at tech and loves it. And he does it all. And so he, I mean, probably every day looks at it and kind of changes verbiage and moves things around and kind of really focuses it. And so it's been great for us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And Kevin, as you said, you've been doing this restaurant thing for a while, and you know, staffing costs are some of the hardest to come by and some of the hardest, you know, some of the highest costs within the business. And so figuring out how to make those guys more efficient is huge. Tim, why don't you take a stab at giving us a quick, you know, 3 minutes on what is GoTab for those that haven't listened to the podcast back a few months ago? Because I think, you know, you talked about QR ordering, but for those that are unfamiliar, paint a picture for us of what Kevin's Place might look like and how GoTab is really a solution to that problem. Cause I think all of us, everybody that's on this call has been in the restaurant technology industry for some period of time and knows what the old system looks like. And Tim, you and your team have done a fantastic job of really driving towards what we would consider to be the next generation of restaurant technology and restaurant ordering.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeremy. So Kevin, you said some things I haven't talked to you in a while. Admittedly, it's which is kind of funny. You said some things that I say, and I don't think anybody actually gets. you said we solve problems you didn't know you had, and that's kind of what we see all the time. Is with COVID, all of a sudden, people finally understood what a QR was, and they finally said, "Oh, this is built into my phone. I can scan a QR." But I kid you not, I go to so many restaurants that they think a QR is just to pull up a PDF menu. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And we'll go into restaurants and they'll say, "Oh, I already have that." And we're like, "No, you have a PDF of a menu on a QR code. That is not the same thing." And so it is interesting because like the restaurant world doesn't really differentiate because they think a QR is a QR is a QR or ordering is ordering. Our belief is that if you actually want to run a well operationalized restaurant, you don't just do ordering differently, you actually change your entire operations. And it sounds scary, as Kevin said, but I can tell you we've had operators do it in 2 days because the software is built to do it. And if you don't fight the software and if you just go with it, and it sounds like Kevin actually has an expert now on staff, which is awesome. I didn't know that. That's very cool. I've actually seen that being very successful before. You end up having to change everything. And so the way GoTab works is you can order on a QR or you can order from a server. So we are a full service POS as well, or a counter service POS. But really the people who adopt us with the most benefit are the ones that really embrace self-service on the guest device. That doesn't mean you can't do stuff. The people see similar systems and they think, oh, you can't run tabs, you can't share tabs, you can't have big parties, you can't do coursing. That's all wrong. That's not the case. That is true of systems that were invented in 2020. Mm-hmm. But if the system was actually built around the idea of how do you do great hospitality and incorporate self-service plus full service, you can do it really well. And one thing I want to at least touch on, because there's so many things I could talk about, but one really simple example that I think Kevin touched on, which is, okay, I've got a 300-foot walk to my outermost table on my patio. So let's imagine all four of us are sitting there having beers, and I place an order for a beer. And then 2 minutes later, Jeremy places an order for a beer. And then 2 minutes later, Jordan places an order for a beer, right? So you kind of get this picture of like, we're not ordering very consistently because uh-huh. there's no server coming out and prompting us. And we all drink at different speeds, or maybe we want an appetizer. How do you manage that runtime? And if your point of sale has no idea of space or logistics, it's going to basically print out a ticket for each of those beers, and then your runner's going to run it to that table. And I can tell you, early days of this model in 2018, we quickly realized that was not sustainable, especially when you get in really big spaces. Like we just ran the US Open for golf, you know, an entire golf course. Mm-hmm. So efficiency matters. And that's just one of, you know, 15 or 20 things that you don't know if you've never adopted a QR-based, you know, ordering and fulfillment capability. Guests love it once they get it. And I'd be very curious what Kevin's experiencing now, because I haven't had the occasion to speak with him. But we see places where it's just humming. People show up, they love it, it's easy. And yeah, there will be every now and then, you know, like once a month, someone who says, I hate this QR thing. It reminds me of COVID. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah.
But there's also no staff to take your order. So I don't know what you want to do.
Well, and I think it's interesting when you talk about it, Tim, because I think even as consumers, you get trained to be able to do that. So now when you just get that static PDF of a menu, you're like, why can't I order? And why can't I pay? Because I think, you know, I want to say, unfortunately, I think humans are, you know, averse to change initially. But then once they realize that they can have control of their own situation and deal with it, they want that. You know, I early experience even in the point of sale world when you know, the kind of build your own burger concept kind of came out, it was amazing. We did some statistical analysis when people were building their own burgers on a kiosk versus just ordering through a server. It was amazing because somewhere north of 85% of the orders were modified. Whereas when it was with a server, they would just take the tomatoes off on the side when it would come to the table. But when they had control of their own experience, whether it was timing of the food, the timing of the drinks, it's amazing how much control you give that staff member, that not just the staff member, but the consumer, and what that does for empowerment and secondary orders and those kind of things. Have you seen that, Kevin, within the restaurant and within the brew pubs?
You know, I just had this conversation yesterday with our general manager, because we always had this huge issue of that our staff, we'd be like, you know, you have to upsell things, right? And that we're not trying to, you know, push people in, but maybe they don't know that you can have an onion ring added to your burger or an egg or thing. And as a restaurant owner, right, those dollar add-ons here and there, I mean, that's kind of how you almost make your profit, right? When you get fries and you pay an extra $2 for the curry ketchup. But servers just don't ask. And to be honest, as a young server, I probably didn't ask either. Uh-huh. And we were like, it's so funny, because in something like an online ordering system, you know, you choose burger and then automatically, right, five things come up. Oh, do you want to add bacon? Oh, do you want to add curry ketchup? You want to add an onion ring? These are all dollar, $2 items that automatically pop up. And it's amazing how many people now, compared to when we had live servers, say, oh, yeah, I do want bacon. And they hit that button.
Yep.
It's like, you know, it's like you don't have to train anyone anymore. It's just there. Every single person is always asked for an add-on. And it's that, and that's a problem, right? That we kind of knew we had, but we didn't know how to, you can't force people to ask. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, every single person is asked every single time, never fail. And so that's absolutely helped the bottom line.
Well, it's funny. I while I want to believe you, Tim, I think you set Kevin up to, like, you know, just prompt for what it is. But it is true, because I think way too often, you know, people don't understand the problems that they have, or they know inherently, to your point just now, Kevin, you knew inherently that your servers weren't asking for those upsells, whether it was dessert or adding the, you know, the special sauce onto the fries, or adding the onion ring or bacon to your burger. You knew inherently that your participation rate wasn't there, but you had no way to drive that other than beating them with a stick. But it's amazing, you know, when the technology gets put in there, it really flattens things out, and you don't have a choice. It just happens, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I know we've got two other, you know, two partners on the call. And so I want to shift it over to Jordan, because Jordan, why don't you give everybody, you talked about kind of what you guys do, but one of the things that I think is unique to really this conversation is how, Jordan, your team has worked with Tim's team to integrate the two platforms. Can you, and I say integrate, not necessarily it's not one user interface or anything like that, but they talk with each other it really is going to go into the latter part of our conversation about why you need to have open APIs and have technology that speaks to each other, because Tim's solving one problem, Jordan's solving another problem for Kevin, but the marrying of the two, 1 + 1 = 3. And so, Jordan, why don't you talk to the audience, for those that haven't listened to what 7 Chefs does, and then parlay that into how you guys integrate with the GoTab solution for integrating sales and labor data to be able to build better forecasts and those kind of things.
Yeah, of course. So just high level on 7Shifts, team management platform for restaurants, really with scheduling and communication at our core. So at a very high level, we provide forecasts and projections to restaurant operators, and we have some algorithms that do that with a good degree of accuracy. And then managers end up building those schedules, and those get pushed out to the staff in real time onto their mobile devices where they could check their shifts, trade shifts, and pick up shifts for others and collaborate and communicate with other coworkers and managers. So that's kind of the core and the very oversimplified version of what we do. In terms of the integration and our partnership with GoTab, first of all, I joke with Tim about this because I think I said the last time we spoke to him, which was when Tim initially showed me GoTab, I was like, this is the most robust, pay at the table solution I've seen in a long time. And Tim's right. Like these solutions, and he was building it before the pandemic. It's just this really, the pandemic obviously surfaced it even the need even more, but it was when we think about our solutions working together and, I guess even before I dive into that philosophically, I just think the way in which we think about technology is in a way it needs to be open because the amount of fragmentation within the restaurant stacks and what technology operators end up using, they've been neglected for so long and the technology they had was just nothing ever talked to each other. So I think as it relates to all the investment being put into restaurant tech nowadays, it's not an option to just turn a blind eye to deciding not to integrate or having an open system. You can still do it. It's just, you may have a better opportunity if you open up those doors and allow people to integrate, which we've done. And I think from both Tim and I's more so development backgrounds, we kind of yearn for this type of experience in any products that we use. So naturally we want it in our own products. But so I think that just has to be table stakes in terms of even assessing what type of technology you want in your restaurant is what does it integrate with and how does it add value when they are mutually integrated together. And for something like GoTab, we did a sales integration and one of the benefits from something like this is really in that schedule building process. If we have all those historical sales numbers, we can more accurately predict what you're going to do from a sales perspective so that you can actually hit your labor targets. And so it's funny, we looked at some of our stats around projections and it was like 95% of people that changed our projections made them actually worse than what they ended up doing. So there is this notion that we're also trying to change of like the restaurant managers thinking like, oh no, I know that this is going to be higher. I know this is going to be lower. It's like, okay, but we now have over a year's worth of data on your restaurant, COVID aside. And we know the seasonality trends. We know that this is going to be an important day and sales are going to do this. And so we're still, I think, trying to change mindsets and earn that trust from the operators, rightfully so. Like we have to earn that trust. But over time, I think that's what we're gunning for. And through products that integrate as well as something like GoTab and 7Shifts, they'll just be able to earn that trust much quicker.
Yeah. No. And I know, Jordan, you and I talked about it when we had our conversation about just how critical. And any of those longtime listeners know that really one of the core tenets of modern technology is that it needs to be able to talk with different people. And I think I alluded to it earlier with Kevin. He's got people knocking on his door every day saying, you got to try this, you got to try that, whether it's digitally or physically knocking on his door, or whether it's trying to change them over to a scheduling platform or things that he may already have a solution for or things that he doesn't have a solution for. But really, when you talk to the two pieces of technology, Kevin's quote about, I didn't even know I had the problem until you guys had solved it for me, is such a powerful statement. And that doesn't happen in the traditional sense with I don't know, these systems that are out there that don't talk easily with other systems. And I think, again, we all live in a consumer-driven world where a lot of things are interconnected. But for some reason, in the restaurant technology world, and I say for some reason, I'm sure that there's lots of good reasons in the past why it was that way. That they weren't connected. You know, nobody would ever think that the banks wouldn't be able to talk to each other in a consumer world. Or, you know, when we sign up for something, we use our Google login or our Apple login or our Facebook login, and it gets the data to these places so that I can sign up for a loyalty program or whatever these types of things are. But in the restaurant technology space, that doesn't exist. Tim, since you started kind of towards the latter half of this interconnectivity and open API idea, talk to me a little bit about why you thought that was so critical, because what I want is our restaurant tours out there that may be holding on to a legacy system because their staff all knows it. Talk to me a little bit about why you thought it was so critical to make sure that you could interconnect and talk with all of these other systems out there, as well as serve the guests and serve the restaurant tours with really cool product that does awesome stuff.
Sure. So my background is I started a company when I was much younger, and it was in consulting. And it was mostly e-commerce and content management. Without getting way technical, it was, our clients were everyone from Goldman Sachs on the high end down to retailers like Sears. So all over the board, but all very, very big. And they would spend $1 million, $5 million, $10 million on projects with my company. It was called Siteworks. I sold that company. I opened a brewery, got to know hospitality, and was just floored with the fact that hospitality technology does not do what any Fortune 500 company, there's not a Fortune 500 company who would buy a piece of software that you cannot get the data in or out of. It's just not possible. Like if you called any company, the Fortune 500 or really the Fortune 5000 and said, I'm going to sell you some software, but it's a black box and you can never put data in. You can never get data out. You have to do everything through our interfaces. They would show you the door instantly. They would not even talk to you. And so that's kind of where I come from when I got into this space and I met Jordan very early on. Since I was doing consulting for these big companies, my experience was you can't do everything well. And the POS world, they tend to think like a POS is everything. And if you talk to a restaurateur, they'll say, you know, what's the POS? And what they really mean with POS is they mean, what's your labor management system? Because if you buy NCR, you get some labor management system in it, and you get some kind of cost management system, and you get some kind of reporting system. But I will go out on a limb and say they're not all great. And my belief is that if they want a good technical, you know, good technology to back them, they're going to have to buy some best of breed technologies. So if labor and staff retention and communication and efficiency all matter to you, then you're going to need a labor management system. You're not going to buy a POS and say, oh, it has a built-in labor management system. It's great, because it's probably not that great. So if you go from that, then you have to conclude, well, if the e-commerce system is going to talk to the labor management, well, it has to be open APIs. And I met Jordan early on, and they already had open APIs when I was building GoTab. So we integrated. It was actually a pretty fast, easy integration because we both adhere to the standards around that. And he has a technical background. I have a technical background. It's kind of a philosophy, and I hope that, you know, the restaurant world picks it up more, because it will really help their businesses as they realize it. But I get that they're not technologists, so it's, you know, it's the right balance. But that's how I came to this conclusion. To me, it was relatively obvious, but I hope it's becoming more obvious to operators.
Yeah, and I think more and more as we continue to talk about really the operators and the guests ultimately are the ones that need to win in this regard, because if the guest wins, because the operator's winning and they're delivering fantastic service and great food and great experience for those guests, they'll continue to grow and it'll be, you know, really a positive for the entire industry. Whereas I think way too often the opposite has happened in our industry, and people end up suffering because of it. You know, the guests end up suffering because, oh, I can't, you know, I'm not staffed appropriately because I didn't do what Jordan talked about and what you talked about, Tim, where the sales and labor are synced. And so we don't have the right amount of staff on the floor. And so the guests end up getting a bad experience, and then they don't come back, and the restaurant doesn't grow because of it. And I think way too few people think about the long-term objective of more restaurants helping more guests, you know, deliver great service is a win-win-win across the board. So, Kevin, I'm going to pivot back to you. Talk to me a little bit about what it's looked like. You know, you and I were talking pre-show a little bit about coming out of the pandemic, and I know we're not out of the pandemic, you know, officially, but coming out of this pandemic, what do you see it looking like for you? Do you, you know, you guys adopted the GoTab solution early in the pandemic. You've been one of the early adopters of what they're doing. The product existed, to Tim's point, before, but do you guys see yourselves accelerating that use, and how have the guests, as they've been coming back on a more regular basis, you know, continue to ask for more? Talk to me a little bit about what that looks like, and where do you see that going with GoTab as a solution for your guests and for your staff, for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, I hesitate to say it, but I think that this pandemic, of course, was so awful for so many in this world. And I would never undermine that. But I feel I can at least speak for our industry that there were certain aspects that we were, at least myself, I can say, I was forced to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I think my business has improved, to be quite honest. I can say, and I've talked to many other operators in the Bay Area that they say a similar thing. They're like, you know, it may have hurt at the moment, but I was forced to look at things and I was forced to fix them. And coming out of this, I'm probably a tighter run business. And so I am fairly optimistic coming out of this. You know, I certainly had the concern of like, oh, are people going to go out to dinner when this thing's all over? I mean, obviously, yeah. Now I feel like a moron. Because people are coming out twice as often and spending twice as much. You know, for us, GoTab, so we are keeping GoTab. And again, I'm not a GoTab salesman, but I honestly, there's many things about it that I didn't realize, again, that I needed. So when you close out your tab, right, you're just asked, I think, five very quick questions like value, you know, service, food, ambiance, and that gets put into an email that we have set it up. So all my managers get this email. You get an email every night, right? With it's a red dot, a green dot, or a yellow dot, right? We all know mm-hmm. that. And so imagine that you get an email every night with, I'd probably say, reviews from 70% of your guests. And so we kind of joke, we like scan for the red dots, right? And so that was something I was like, God, so great. Cause it for one, it keeps people off Yelp. I think they feel that they were heard, that their chicken sandwich wasn't wonderful and they were heard, and it keeps them off Yelp. And it gives me an opportunity to say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Come back, you know, we'll comp you, you know, whatever. We do get comments occasionally that are, can't wait for you to bring back servers. And I actually do respond to them and say, actually, we've had so much, you know, great feedback from this new way of business, and it really helps our restaurants. You know, I don't get into details, but, you know, we're spending $2,000 a month on gloves and masks, right? It's like that money has to come from somewhere, and yep. Having a system that kind of allows us to maybe have four or five less staff each night. That's the way that restaurants have to work. And, you know, I would say, but then most guests, I would say 90% of them are like, this is awesome. This new way of going out to eat is awesome for me. You mentioned it before, control. I'm in complete control of my order, for one, right? Like if your order gets screwed up, you know, it's, you entered it wrong generally. Yep. It takes us out of the equation a little bit. I was joking before because we'll bring a beer out to someone. We're a brewery, obviously. So a lot of people just come for beer. We'll get a beer out so fast that they'll look at us and be like, that can't be mine. I just press send.
Yep.
But what I realized is we would go out, get a beer order, and then they'd stroll back and someone would ask them for a napkin and someone would ask them for a fork. And then they'd talk to their buddy and then they'd put the order in. And it was 10 minutes for a simple beer. Whereas now it's, I mean, literally, we'll get a beer out in like 30 seconds. And so that side of the guests, I think, really appreciate that. And as someone with kids myself, you know, you've waited for a server while your kids are melting down, and it eliminates that, right? Yep. So I think the people that kind of get what it is, and again, I'm in the Bay Area. I mean, the iPhone was invented 20 miles away, right? So I don't know if the experience is similar across the country, but I can tell you in my area, most people are like, I'm loving this new way of going out to eat, and I hope this stays. So for me, you know, the guest experience, they're happy. And I would urge anyone kind of moving to a system like this, you have to have staff that are willing to help them. Like we early on, and I know this made a lot of people unhappy, but we said, if someone comes up, because we do get people that are like, F this, I'm not eating here, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to be like, no problem, I'll do it for you. And I say, don't do that. Don't help them that way. They're not willing to learn. You should take 10 minutes and sit down with them and say, hey, I'd love to help set it up for you. Once you put your credit card in once, it's so easy to use. And honestly, it works most of the time. They're like, oh, I just didn't understand how to use a QR code. I just didn't understand what this was going to do. And once they understand it, it's kind of like a teach a person to fish type of thing. And so I think you just got to put a little extra effort into kind of educating people on how to use it, because my guess is that this technology is going to be the future of at least my style of brewery restaurant, right? Maybe not fine dining, but in my kind of tier of restaurant, I think this is going to be what it is. And so yep. If you're not willing to learn it, you know, you're going to have a rough decade of going out to eat probably.
that's so funny.
Yeah. That's my take on the guests.
But I love it.
Overall, I mean, I'm many, many, many people are like, why didn't anyone do this sooner? And that goes back to like, well, COVID kind of forced us to look at this and figure this out, and we did it, and there you go.
Well, and I'd love you to expand on that, because there's a lot of restaurateurs that are out there that have been reluctant. And it sounds like had you not been forced, you would have been reluctant. And I'm gonna let you start, and then Tim, if you can add on to kind of what that looks like for GoTab, because you guys are going in and really trying to create an experience even early on, well before the pandemic and anybody even knew what a QR code was outside of some small niche people. But talk to our operators out there that are sitting here listening, Kevin, that may be reluctant, that have got an old NCR system and know they need to upgrade it, but are scared to death that they're going to lose guests, that they're going to lose staff, that they're going to lose people within their environment if they end up going this route. You know, it sounds like you would make this decision again tomorrow and the next day and the next day again. But what did you learn, and talk to the operators out there that are reluctant to even take a phone call with Tim and his team or Jordan and his team to be able to adopt these new solutions that might be out there?
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I was that person, right? I was like, I didn't even want counter service. I was like, no way, you know, average check per guest goes down 20%. You know, mm-hmm. There's no, hey, would you like a second beer? Hey, do you want dessert? Like, I was totally resistant. And then also kind of, you know, I'm certainly conscious of customer service, right? Like, I do get someone coming up to you and you like that server and you guys have witty banter and I get that that's gone to a certain extent. You know, but at the end of the day, I'm running a business, and, you know, I mean, I'll be quite honest, before the pandemic, my staffing, my labor was out of control. It was not 30% or less at all. And so, you know, COVID kind of gave us a little freedom to say, hey, we have to do this thing. We have to try this thing. But I myself was certainly reluctant to that. Fortunately, trying this thing, right, this new kind of business model, we saw staff gratuity increase, right? I saw labor costs decrease, and average ticket price, I don't think has moved. I don't think it's moved whatsoever. So it's not us selling, you know, asking for another beer. It's almost this comfort of like, oh, I can press a button and another beer will be delivered to my table in 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. There's an ease of it. So I think I'm being honest. I was super reluctant to ever do anything like this before 2019, because I just historically was like, no, you need to touch the table. You need to do all these things. And those have an impact on everything. And there's a new way to do it. And I think that's just, we have to kind of move on to that a little bit. I just think, again, with this COVID situation, it kind of kicked me in the butt a little bit to be like, well, I have to take a risk or I'm not going to survive. Luckily, that risk kind of showed us and other people I've talked to that, like, oh, the guests will accept this. The guest doesn't mind kind of being their own server, and in many instances, prefer it.
They prefer it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim, can you expand on that? Just because I know you guys have done lots of these implementations, and there's always reluctance, whether from the staff perspective, from the guest perspective, from the ownership perspective. Can you give us a little bit of insight as to some best practices and some ways that you might consider, you know, educating those operators that are out there that are listening, going, you know what, I've been waiting too long. I need to do this, but we've got lots of learnings on the call here today. I'd love for you to spread a little bit of that knowledge and a little bit of that wisdom to those that would be open to this solution.
Well, I would say, you know, a couple things. Management has to be somewhat committed. I think Kevin's commitment came from COVID, and a lot of people knew they had to do something. Now, obviously, what I can say I encounter a lot of is, well, I don't know if I should do anything because I have business coming in the doors. I have this notion that a lot of people trying to operate in the old model, their labor costs are going to be way out of control here real soon. So Jordan's going to be getting a lot of calls from people because they can't really manage their labor properly. They don't have enough visibility into it. Their systems aren't sophisticated enough. But I would say the biggest thing is, like, you know, move into the process and candidly get past your first month or two of, like, the people saying, I hate this. There's always going to be someone who hates anything that you do that's new. That's going to be dialing it in. It doesn't happen a lot. I can tell you it's really correlated with the demographic of your restaurant. There will be people, if you change something, they will hate it no matter what you do. If you change your menu, I mean, any restaurateur knows, if you change your menu, someone's going to complain about it. So if you change your service model, they will complain about it. One beautiful thing about it, though, is that, yes, you don't have to have as many staff, but you can also pay that staff you do have more. So your people you have are happier. Shift management and labor management becomes more critical because their costs are higher. But all those things end up being synergistic because you get your best people. You have less of them to deal with. Your guests get to deal with your best staff. So your staff quality ends up being better. So it's all synergistic, but I think the key is it's not something you dabble with, not because it's super hard to do, but you have to, and one of the things, actually, this is probably the easiest way to say it, is if you've never been to a restaurant that operates like a GoTab restaurant like Kevin's does, you won't really get it. It's not going to be clear to you what it means to be a GoTab restaurant until you see one that's dialed in. Once you see one dialed in, you go, oh shit, sorry. Oh shoot, this is a very different model.
I think you're right, Tim. And so I didn't mean to interrupt, goes to, don't let your staff let them off the hook. Don't say, oh, I'll take care of it for you. Not only does it kill us when someone has to, like, kind of, you know, stop the assembly line and do something different, but once they do it once, they're like, oh, and you're good from there, right? You're good. You got a customer for life.
Yeah. Well, and to be clear, we don't recommend, if you have a bar, we don't recommend you order from a QR at a bar. Because part of the reason people sit at a bar is to chit-chat with the bartender. But if you're sitting away from the bar, then use a QR or do some mix. If you're full service, fine dining, that's a different beast. But if you're casual dining with a bar, order from the bartender by all means, because that's, especially on a Monday night, that is a slow time. The whole reason you're there is maybe to chat up the bartender, right? So do pay attention to your experience. Don't think it has to be an all-in, but do realize the efficiency in the fact that 90% of your guests will probably love it. And yes, for sure, there will be some who hate it. And tell them to sit at the bar.
Yeah. Tell them you'll figure it out another way. Or, you know what, quite frankly, I wonder how many of those guests we actually want in the restaurants, because eventually it's going to get to a point where I think I've had this philosophy, and you can go way back a few years ago into a webinar that I had done where I talked about, I think point of sale is really going to be in your pocket when you go into restaurants, you know, going into the future. There's not going to be a fixed position point of sale terminal, which is really what you guys have done, Tim. You know, there may be one or two behind the bar or whatnot, but for the most part, guests are going to order for themselves and control their own experience. So, cool. Well, I know we've covered quite a bit. Jordan, and I know, you know, I'd love you to pontificate a little bit on where do you see restaurant technology? You know, we all kind of sit at this intersection, or at least the three of us sit at the intersection of restaurants and technology. I do believe that there's a bright future, and to Kevin's point, I think more and more restaurateurs are open to adopting new technology. Why don't you throw out each of you guys? I'll let you rapid fire. Jordan, you can go first. Tim, go second, and Kevin, you can wrap it up. What talk to me a little bit about where you guys see it going, you know, 1, 3, and 5 years from now. Do you guys just see it accelerating? Do you guys see it flattening out and people going back into the hole of, oh, I'm just going to leave it the way it is? Talk to me a little bit about that you know, give me your thoughts on where things are going.
Yeah, I think I do believe that there is a rapid acceleration of adoption of technology right now, and that this largely due to the pandemic. But I also don't believe that, I do think there is like a mad rush right now in terms of switching a lot of stuff and people moving things, and maybe the dust will settle for a little bit in terms of after that new piece of technology has been adopted. But what I'm excited about is that it forced a pretty massive change in a lot of mindsets of operators in such a way that there's, you know, hopefully the next change that comes along isn't so scary and isn't so daunting. So I'm really hopeful and optimistic in terms of the further adoption of various pieces of technology and how they integrate. Because I think people will have, their mindset will hopefully be more attuned to it. So I'm excited about that.
Wonderful. Tim, why don't you add on to that a little bit for me?
I would go with, I think what Kevin said was really smart. And I actually just stumbled into this recently where we've seen like experts, and he said GoTab expert, but I would even say digital expert. I think operators are going to start realizing that the digital experience of their restaurant, which is what my background was before, was all digital experience creation, is important. The way you order things on your digital menu is as important as it looks on your printed menu. The way the guest goes through the details of the experience is not just something that you throw into a database and don't worry about how it looks. It will change behavior, and it will change people's experience as much as the fabric and texture of your chairs and the art on your wall. And I do hope, and I do think we will see that as restaurants, you know, mature in the new world, they're going to realize the digital experience is just as important, or at least is important, as the physical experience. And I hope that continues, that trend continues. And I think it's going to happen also, you know, with labor management. Like Jordan's product's super slick. Your 7 Shifts is super slick when it comes to staff. Like most operators don't really realize that staff communication is a really important thing. And I talk to them all the time, like, oh, I just need to clock in. I'm like, nah. So how does your staff communicate? How do you let them know about things that they all need to know about easily? And I think the operators are going to have to get more aware and realize the priority of communication with their guests and their staff over digital means, and how important the presentation of that is as well.
I love that. I love that you, looping Jordan's stuff in, but I would agree with you that all too often we don't think about that guest experience. And part of your guests, Kevin, part of Kevin's guests are the staff that he hires. Because you know what, if they're not happy coming to work, or if they're not able to do their stuff, they're not going to stay long, and it's going to cost him and his business a whole bunch more money. And so, Kevin, why don't you wrap up kind of your thoughts on what the future holds for technology and the restaurant space, you know, beyond kind of 2021 and into the future?
Wow, I'm flattered that you think I know, first of all.
Well, we can always take the soundbite and send it to you, you know, a couple of years from now and say, hey, your predictions came true or they didn't, you know?
Well, I mean, I guess I look at it as a competitive advantage, right? In an industry that's generally lower margin, it's a competitive advantage. And we should all be looking for anything that's, you know, improves our margin by 3% even. I mean, and, you know, with the current staffing issue, like, I don't know that that's going to change long term, to be quite honest. And, you know, one thing about seven shifts, that the scheduling component and the communication, that's amazing. I can say one of the biggest benefits for us, and being that I know a lot of our staff is young, is they kind of have it as an app, and it's almost like a group text. It's almost like a Slack for our staff of like, hey, it's simple things, right? Hey, there's a party of 100 coming in tonight. And seven shifts is like the blast that does that without having to text them and things. And we use it for that, I'd say, daily. So I think, you know, communication with the guests and staff is going to be the key to kind of navigating this and being better at what we do. You know, I mean, I can be honest, like, some of the younger people that we hire, because we do have a fairly young staff, like a 21-year-old, for instance, they're so much smarter and savvier than I think I was at that age, that they almost they expect that now. They're like, you have a paper schedule? Like, what do I do with that? You know, it's no, they want a text and they want this. And it's just, they're learning to work in the restaurant industry today. So they don't know the way that I did it in the 90s. And so, you know what I mean? I hesitate to say, but I almost feel like you have to start embracing some of this stuff. And again, I'm as stubborn as many, but there are so many just trippy little things about technology. Like, I'll share one boring one. Like, we've all worked in the restaurant industry, right? When you're out of something, right? There's a mad dash to 86 this, and you have to tell every server, and you have to do all this. And ostensibly someone's like, oh, I just got an order for that. And it's a nightmare, right? And it happens every night. With something like technology, it's like, oh, just go to GoTab and turn it off. They can't order it anymore. And it's these things you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that I had that. I didn't know that there was a solution to that mad dash of me trying to tell 10 servers at the same time not to place an order for this item. There's a solution for that. Yep. And I think if you get over the fear of the technology, which I get it, there's definitely going to be a month or a week or whatever it is that's like kind of tough to learn it. But then again, there's always someone on your staff that's like, I'm super into technology and I don't really want to talk to customers. And you're like, great, you're my technology person. And they're so good and they love it. And they just, you have to kind of outsource it to them and trust that they know what they're doing. And then, you know, I secretly just go into our systems as a customer and I see it. And I'm usually like, wow, guys, you changed this photo and you matched all the descriptions and you put it in a different order and you highlighted this, and it's all on them. I feel I have to relinquish it a little bit. And I think people are probably scared to some, you know, if I've owned a restaurant for 50 years, I'm very hesitant to relinquish that to someone younger, but they're just better at it. And, you know, it has to happen. So.
Well, and I want to enforce a couple of things that you said there. Is so many of our staff and our guests are digital natives. They grew up with an iPad or an iPhone or, you know, an Android phone in their hands. And so they come to expect that that's what they're looking for. And Jordan, I know you and I talked about this in our conversation. There's a lot of people that will look to see that they have a solution like Seven Shifts before they'll even take a job, because they realize how much it enhances their life as a staff member. And so, and the same thing goes for the GoTab stuff. They realize that they're going to be able to get better tips and have better service and have, you know, happier guests. Guys, I think we're going to wrap up. We're kind of butting up against time. I love that we went so deep on these conversations. Is there anything that I missed, Tim, Jordan, or Kevin, that you would want our listeners out there to hear about new technology and why they really should take the plunge into what it is? Or did we sufficiently beat it to death in our last 45 minutes or so?
I loved it. I thought we hit a lot of great things, and I think Kevin is a testament. I remember talking to him early on, and it's been a road. So,
Well, Kevin, and if the brewery doesn't work out, you've always got a job selling either Seven Shifts or GoTab because you've done a fantastic job of representing both products. They are fantastic products, so don't take it that way. It's more just you're like a walking billboard for everything that these guys are doing, and both of them are awesome people and awesome technologists, and really are helping restaurants take it to the next level. And so, guys, I can't thank you guys enough for jumping on and talking with us. And to our listeners out there, guys, I know that you guys have got lots of choices of different podcasts that you guys can listen to. And so we appreciate you guys spending time with us each and every time that that we post one of these. Tim, thank you. Jordan, thank you. And Kevin, thank you guys. Thank you guys for coming on. And to our listeners, have a fantastic day.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.